Greetings, I'm Bill Klatke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Ms. Joelle Novy, who is with Interfaith Power and Light, who are doing wonderful things to help the climate here in Maryland. So, Joelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you so much for coming. I know you're busy and you're doing all kinds of work all throughout Maryland, and I'm glad you came today. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, and they hopefully won't be after the show, please tell us a little bit about Interfaith Power and Light.
Sure. Interfaith Power and Light is working with hundreds of congregations of many faith traditions across the state of Maryland, as well as the D.C. metro area, to support them in speaking out on climate issues as a matter of religious concern. There are people who feel that they're called to address climate change as people of faith, and are working together to save energy, go green, and respond to climate change.
Great. How long has IPNL been around?
Our Interfaith Power and Light has been doing this work for over a decade in this region. Uh-huh. We're one of about 40 state affiliates of Interfaith Power and Light, doing similar work around the country to engage people of faith all over the United States in speaking out on climate change as a religious issue.
Great. How did it start?
The Reverend Canon Sally Bingham, an Episcopal priest in California, was the founder who felt concerned that she wasn't hearing her own priest talk about climate change, which she saw as a real moral issue from the pulpit. And that led her on this journey to begin this work. And it's now really a movement around the country of people who are increasingly seeing the climate challenge as a moral and religious challenge.
So it's really, really came from the grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So it's really a citizen-driven organization.
Absolutely. We work with people in their congregations. Many of those listening right now may have heard us speak on circles of folding chairs in their church basements already. We're happy to come out if you would like to have us. Having those conversations in people's congregations, we start by just becoming aware of the electricity that's lighting the room we're sitting in and thinking about, now, how is that electricity made? How are we lighting the sanctuary where we worship?
Mm.
And once people understand that that energy mostly was made by burning fossil fuels, that's pouring this heat-trapping climate pollution into our atmosphere, causing our earth to warm, hurting our neighbors, hurting God's creation, and causing problems for future generations, they don't want to light their holy spaces that way anymore. And it begins a really important conversation about what we do next and how we can change.
Yeah, great. How can someone find out more about IPNL?
We'd love to connect with anyone who's part of a faith community of any tradition and is interested in taking action on climate change in your community. You can check out our website, ipldmv.org. That's ipldmv.org. You'll also find a Facebook page, facebook.com/IPLDMV. Likewise, we have a Twitter handle, also IPLDMV. And we have a Instagram now, thanks to my younger colleagues, also IPLDMV. So we'd love to connect with folks both through our website and on any of those social media.
Great. What do you do for IPNL?
So it's really wonderful for me to be back in Baltimore and talking to folks in Baltimore. I grew up right around here, and now I'm the director of Interfaith Power and Light that's serving this region. But it's been wonderful to get to come back home when I work with congregations in the Baltimore area, because I grew up in Roland Park, went to Bryn Mawr School. My family was very active over several generations at the Chizuk Emunah congregation in Pikesville. And I always had a strong sense growing up that faith calls us to change the world. If we're really paying attention to what the message of our faith traditions says about the dignity of every human being and the call we have to love our neighbors and protect them from harm. So it felt clear to me that that's what we should be doing if we took religion seriously, but I didn't always see examples of that growing up. And one of my first strong role models in that was that as a teenager, I volunteered at something called the St. Ignatius Loyola Academy, which was the Catholic Church's school serving low-income young men in Baltimore.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first time the teachers in that school were the first some of the first people I met who were really driven by faith to work for almost no money just because they were called to work for educational equity in Baltimore City.
And, wow.
So cool. I've been passionate ever since, and in this work at IPL, about really inviting my own faith community and all of our religious communities to say, what would it really look like to live out our values? What does that really call us to do in this time? And asking that question is extremely powerful.
Yeah. If you will, let's walk through that a little bit. I mean, we're sitting here recording this show in the Rotunda and the Rotunda complex, and we have very bright electric lights here and running computers and everything else. What is that from, and what can we do about it? Because after all, I mean, I'm a Presbyterian, but I also believe in not just taking care of our holy spaces, but also, you know, looking at God's creation and what we're doing in offices. And I'm sure people listening would like to do it in their offices too, as well as their homes and their and where they worship.
Absolutely. I think many people, as we come to understand where our electricity comes from and how we're connected to this issue, want to take action that feels meaningful, and especially in the aftermath of the election and a real elevation nationally of climate denial and people opposing action and denying science. You know, we really are asking ourselves, what's the right thing for us? What's the role for us to play in this time?
It's an important time, which is one of the reasons why I invited you on
Thank
today.
Thank you. Yes. In short, you know, more and more of us are aware that when we plug something into an outlet in our homes in Maryland, more than half of that electricity is still made by burning fossil fuels, coal, natural gas, and others. And that burning those fuels is pouring a heat-trapping climate pollution into our atmosphere, trapping the sun's heat and causing the earth to warm. You know, we always had some atmosphere trapping some of the sun's heat, and that has how the earth has been a nice place for life up until now. But we are putting like a ski jacket over that atmosphere and making it trap much more heat. And it's very alarming the different kinds of harm it would cause in terms of stronger storms, devastating floods, changes in what kinds of plants can grow where.
Right.
A lot of people of faith are really heartbroken when they think about all the species of God's creation, plants and animals, that wouldn't be able to adapt fast enough in a rapidly warming climate. One writer has even said maybe we're watching Genesis in reverse in this generation because of the losses of species. And then we just are mindful that it's the poorest people and in some of the poorest countries around the world, the ones that did the least to cause this problem and benefited the least from industrialization and carbon pollution, who are among the first to experience some of the effects when they can't farm in the way they used to, the patterns of rains have changed, or when there's an outbreak of mosquito-borne disease and the mosquitoes are thriving at these warmer temperatures. There's a real injustice that calls on all of us in the part of the world where this pollution was created to really respond.
Absolutely. What can we do about it?
We invite folks through Interfaith Power and Light to respond in three ways. And the first is, our website is organized the same way: learn, go green, and speak out. So if you're looking for, the very first step I would say is get connected to an organization like ours that will connect you to the broader climate movement. This can be really lonely. It can be really scary. I know people have a lot of feelings when they first think hard about the impacts on our climate, and I can't promise that we'll be able to fix everything, but I can promise you that we can be together in it and we can be in community. And that's what people of faith know how to do, is at least be in solidarity with each other as we address the hardest things in life.
Right. Exactly.
So my first answer is, if you're listening to this and you are not already receiving emails from a climate action organization, either Interfaith Power and Light or Chesapeake Climate Action Network, or 350.org, or the Maryland Sierra Club, one of those big groups that's really doing good work to organize people to be a part of this solution. I invite you to get connected, first and foremost, and don't be alone with this because you have a lot of company out there.
Right.
We say that sometimes our folks feel like the green sheep in their congregation because they feel a little bit lonely when being so concerned about these issues. And I just tell them, there's so many green sheep. Let's flock together.
Yeah, right.
So that's the first step. I invite people to learn, go green, and speak out. So continue to talk about this issue. Learn more about climate change and what it means for us here in Baltimore, for some countries that you feel connected to around the world, either places your family came from or places your church has done mission work with. Mm-hmm. And then connect with what your own faith community has to say about this issue. So it's likely that your denomination has done a lot of work already to talk about what do our scriptures and what do our teachings guide us to do around climate change, but you can learn more and elevate those. You can invite your pastor or clergy person to speak on these issues from the pulpit and raise it up as a matter of moral concern. And you can invite IPL, Interfaith Power and Light, or other groups to speak to your congregation and educate. Great. We have speakers, we have films. So that's the first step.
Wonderful.
Going green. So I would invite all of us to find at least one way to address our personal impact on this problem. And one of the things that connects all of us directly to the climate problem is our use of electricity.
Right.
And there are a lot of ways we can support folks in both changing the way they use electricity at home. We partner with groups like the Baltimore Energy Challenge and Retrofit Baltimore and other wonderful programs that help Baltimore city residents reduce their energy use at home, whether they're owners or renters. We support people in their homes in switching or in supporting clean energy with their energy dollars through mm-hmm. their energy bills. So we work with an organization called Groundswell as a partner that can help anyone who's listening choose clean energy through their energy bill in the future. And there are opportunities to go solar on your own home. And we work with an organization called Maryland Sun, MD Sun, that helps folks join purchasing groups to put solar panels on their own homes. Likewise, there are many, many opportunities to go green inside your congregation. And we'd be happy to send anyone light switch reminders that can stick up on the light switch plates in your congregation and at least open that conversation. And we have them for many different faith traditions with different messages that just get everyone thinking about what's at stake for us in the, you know, what is our congregation about? What are our values? And what does that mean for the way we use energy here?
Right.
We can guide congregations through purchasing clean energy through your energy bill. We can guide congregations through the process of financing solar panels for your facility. We are aware of a number of programs, including some exciting ones through the local utility, BGE, as well as through the Baltimore City Department of Energy that are available to provide loans and incentives for energy upgrades. So just contact us if you're interested in taking the next steps there.
We got a minute left.
Oh, advocacy.
Yes.
So we are working to speak out in Annapolis for clean energy to override the governor's veto of the Clean Energy Jobs Act, which will strengthen Maryland's clean energy law to 25% by 2020.
Great.
And we're also looking to put a permanent statewide ban on hydraulic fracturing for natural gas, which is a particularly dangerous kind of
Absolutely.
Drilling that is coming our way if we don't stop it.
And somebody who's interested in these issues can contact you as a way of getting involved and finding out what their individual congregation can do and what they can do.
Absolutely. We'd love to hear from you.
Wonderful. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
Sure. I'm Joelle Novi, Director of Interfaith Power and Light. You can contact us at our website, ipldmv.org.
Uh-huh.
We have a Facebook page at IPLDMV, a Twitter account, IPLDMV, as well as on Instagram, IPLDMV.
And that's probably the best way to contact you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Wonderful. And I know that you provide all services for free, too.
Yep, we'd love your support if you're finding us helpful, but we'd happy to help you as much as we can, no charge.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today on Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Joelle Novi, who's with Interfaith Power and Light, for being our guest today. Thank you, Joelle.
Thank you so much.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Thank you.
Really, God bless. And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.